Blog Talk Radio.
Well, well, well. We're back. Maybe a little bit late, but we definitely come to play. We come to the table here at Talking Hoops. This is Jim Bass Knight. We're going to be discussing stuff that you really can't get anywhere else. Seriously. What we have planned for this week is it's earth-shattering. As far as anything that even comes close to a sports commentating type of a show. You know, we don't have like a lot of slick PR. We just come with stuff that is way over the head of anything that would, any of the major networks, any of the local media, any of the credentialed press would tackle. Just way, way, way beyond that. First of all, big news in Seattle, here our hometown, that the University of Washington supposedly has a deal with Adidas for $119 million, something like that. As it turns out, you know, we know a little bit about this. We know a little bit about this Adidas, these Adidas people. And there's guys out there in the Seattle area who have been shoveling players to Adidas schools for a long time. I mean, a long time in the sense of my coverage of this beat, and that being that I started in 2005 with Rivals and did a little bit with Seattle Times and Dogman and Ruth Robbins and a couple other people prior to that. You know, maybe I think my coverage of Husky basketball probably goes back as far as maybe 2002, something like that, when I did maybe 2001, or maybe when I did my article about Bob Bender leaving UW for Dogman. But my feature piece. But, you know, there's a lot to be discussed. And when all's said and done, there was a time when Nike's contract was up before. And a certain individual here in town was being groomed to try to get that deal together for Adidas. And that individual had a lot of connections with the Tyee Club, the big major donors of Washington. And that individual had been working for Adidas as well in the capacity that we're now finding out a great deal about more publicly, even though I've been reporting on it for years, the pay-to-play, the bribery, the prostitution, the coercion, all the goodies. And a person had been doing work for Adidas, for Adidas players that were coming into town to play the Sonics, taking them out, showing a good time. That person became known as someone who really was able to get women, girls, for these basketball players. Show them around, treat them really well in the local restaurants, and kind of made his name during that era, and then was sort of being groomed because of his contacts and inside connections within the Washington booster class, you could call it, the Tyee Club, to make a play for that sponsorship. And I guess it finally came through for this person. So that's what happened this week. And this person is somebody I know. Yep. And I exchanged quite a bit of information, spent quite a bit of time with. I know a lot about the person. So we'll be talking more about that. Talking more about the FBI investigation, where that's going. My understanding of what's going on, from what I'm kind of reading between the lines, and just kind of reading just the usual suspects, and just these people's tells are unbelievable. People who write these columns that always argue for the pay-to-play, always argue for the corrupt side of college sports, because they have contacts that are doing that, and that's how they get valuable information. So these networks want to hire them, and they know what to say, what not to say. That's why they keep their jobs. Not bitter about not having a job myself in that world, at all, truthfully. But the key thing is that's how they do it. So what I see by just reading the body language of things, and also my contacts, is that I sense Nike is really coming up with a great deal of money to hire really top lawyers to try to argue in federal court that bribery is not a crime when it comes to college basketball prospects. That paying somebody's parent, paying somebody's high school coach, paying an AAU coach, funding an AAU program, and for the purpose of convincing the kids on that program to go to schools that specifically are sponsored by the shoe that sponsors their program, or the agent that sponsors their program, or the booster that sponsors their program, or none of those kind of soft and direct bribery kind of situations are actually crimes. They're against NCAA regulations, but there's no reason why they should be considered crimes. Now, here's the thing. The NCAA won't do anything about it. They have no subpoena power. They have no way to do it. The only way they do stuff about things is when someone else presents the entire case and there's nothing they can do about it except for do something that appears to be pretty resolute. They did that with USC back when O.J. Mayo and Timmy Floyd and all that stuff, and all the Reggie Bush and all that kind of thing, and we were all impressed. But then they turned right around with Oregon, which was just as egregious, with that Willie Lyles deal, and did absolutely nothing. So NCAA does what they have to do to manage a business. If they don't have to do anything, that's great, because the money's going to roll in better. If they have to do something to show that what their legitimacy of their product, because that's what their bottom line when their product is not considered legitimate, then they'll do something, but they try to get away with not doing it to the people that really put money in their pockets. And that person would be Phil Knight, who Bill Walton says is the greatest grantor of dreams in the history of mankind. Well, that may be, and money is great, and I'm sure that everyone at UW is already spending the extra money they're going to be getting from that $120 million that they're going to get. And I'm not trying to say that it's not a good thing for them to get money. I'm a UW fan, as everybody knows, and everybody's always accused me of being a homer. But there's another side to this. And that other side is the corruption angle. And with Adidas, I'm not trying to say that they're any worse than Nike. In fact, I think they're not. I think Nike's worse. Nike's bigger. They have more history. They're probably better organized at it. And they're just as bad, if not worse, as far as corruption and pay-to-play and the other things that are involved in this when it comes down to it. Coercion, prostitution, money laundering, variety of other crimes that happen in the course of this business. So be what it may, Nike's just as bad as Adidas or worse. As far as Under Armour, I have no idea what they're doing. I know that they're overpaying, and everyone sees they're overpaying. So everyone, of course, is wanting to get paid more and hitting them up. But I'm not sure what and how they do the pay-to-play types of stuff for these schools that they sponsor, what their organization is in that regard. It's probably about the same. It's probably a lot of the same players involved in the money laundering, the pay-to-play, the prostitution, the coercion. I think it's safe to say that if you rat anybody out, that just like any other illegal or marginally illegal business in American history, you know, in the lineage of the mob and labor unions and all the other stories, one of two things are going to happen. Either you're going to get paid something to shut up, or someone's going to lean on you and say, look, you know, well, if you don't keep your mouth shut, we'll break your legs. I think that's probably what they do, something like that. But I think what it in basketball is probably a little less severe. It's probably like, you know, you'll never work again. You won't be working. You'll be out of here. And I think a lot of people realize that. So, and I think that there's a certain amount of break your legs too. Honestly, I believe that. I believe that that's very real. Especially when we're talking about poor people. Especially when we're talking about, desperate people. So, aside from that, all that good news, the UW looks like they got this thing going with Adidas. It still has to pass the University of Washington Board of Regents, who I'm sure are doing their due diligence as we speak. And I don't think they have any idea that there's a guy in Seattle that's heavily involved with that deal, who's also heavily involved in this pay-to-play that has been getting all this publicity via the FBI investigation. I don't think they know that. So that's why I'm just here to say that, they ought to look into that. And beyond that situation, I think that you'll find that if that goes unchecked, that Mike Hopkins will probably get a lot of help from that individual and his history, which now spans, I'm sure, pretty close to 15 years of working at a pretty high level in this side of the field, to bring in big time talent. He did with UCLA for a long time, and did for Louisville, Kansas, and others, out of this very area, with players from this very region, as well as other deals throughout the country. So I think that you can look forward to Washington sort of being the UCLA of the West Coast in basketball with Mike Hopkins. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that'll think that's fantastic. I don't think that's fantastic. I think that Lorenzo Romar was fantastic. I think that he did something that no one else really could do, and that was perform without being involved in the pay-to-play. That was what he did with his recruiting in the last few years, and he was able to overcome the serious problems that were dealt him from the pay-to-play directly. And he was the object of disdain and fear. And just as I've gone over in the show before, I think a lot of people wanted to get rid of him and hit higher levels of the sport, of the business. And I think they succeeded. I don't know to what degree Mike Hopkins is complicit in that, or Jane Cohen, but I think it may just be that they understand the 411. This is what the powers that be wanted, and they're just responding to it. Or maybe they're even more naive than that. And maybe they're completely, you know, just part of a machinery that they just do their job and shut up, like so many other businesses that have less than admirable qualities. So that's what's going on there. And so I think you're going to be hearing, as time goes on, because of this connection with Adidas and because of this specific individual, I think you're going to find that there's going to be an awful lot of big-time recruits looking at UW. And especially when it comes to spring, that's when a lot of the big pay-to-play guys, five stars, kind of hold out till that point to see what's going on with the best opportunities. And, you know, the NBA draft, that kind of thing, like pick their shot, pick their spot. So I think that's what we're going to be seeing with UW. I think they're going to be going after a lot of more recruiting with Hopkins. They'll probably have the money now to pay Hopkins the kind of money that they need to keep him at UW. Because Syracuse pays about $4-something million, and they'll probably pay him over double, maybe even triple of what he makes at UW. So I don't know anybody out there that want to raise their hand that would want to work at a place that doesn't sell out arenas and get paid, you know, half the amount of money or a third amount of money for doing the same work. Raise your hand. And, you know, I think that Syracuse is a monster elite level program, and I think that they would love to have him there. In fact, everything I'm hearing from on the street is that he's a lock to go there. But now with this Adidas thing, I think that throws a monkey wrench into that, because I think they have the money now, if they want to get serious about basketball, to pay Hopkins that. That amount of money, which would essentially be about three times what they paid Romar, and a little over two times what they paid Hopkins, to give him a new contract to meet Syracuse's what they'll be able to pay. We'll see what Syracuse comes to the table with. They may decide they want to up the ante. Who knows? It's getting crazy out there, the money. And anybody that knows anything about Syracuse understands that. The arena is twice as big. The alumni support is like 10 times as big as far as like donors and, you know, premium seats and luxury boxes and all that stuff. Premium access to donors and people. And, you know, so that's what he'd be turning down to do it for UW, and maybe that's what he wants. Seattle's a nice place. Syracuse, yeah, I got nothing against Syracuse as far as the town or the school. I mean, Lou Reed went there, so that's enough for me to think it's cool. But bottom line, I like Seattle better. It's a little bit more sensible weather for what I like. I like Seattle better than anything, truthfully. I like it better than L.A. I like it better than any place in the United States. But that's because I'm crazy and I like rain. But, you know, Seattle's better. So maybe it makes sense to Mike Hopkins to stick around and really do something. He's a very capable guy. I was impressed with what he did this year. You know, it was obviously not a perfect situation, considering what they basically destroyed to bring him in. You know, with the 2017 class, with all the recruiting contacts and network that Lorenzo had put together to compete with the pay-to-play, including people like Brandon Roy and a number of others, Michael Porter Sr., obviously. And they put together a team that needed maybe a little bit more coaching, and they ended up getting that with Cameron Dollar. I think they would have gotten that anyway with Dollar, and with, I think, the defense and the overall toughness and everything else would have improved with that. And I think that Lorenzo knew that. I think everybody knew that. And he had three recruiters on his staff, and he just needed a little bit more help with actual coaching. And I think he did got that, and then he got that with Dave Rice. Mike Hopkins also brought in a good coach with Dave Rice to help him with the play calling and offensive schemes and in-game adjustments and all that stuff, scouting. He's a real quality guy to do that too. So, you know, I'm not sure what Romar would have done with that, but, you know, when you got Michael Porter, Jonte Porter, Dejon Davis, and then just the kind of guys he would have gotten in 2018, 2019, none of those guys are looking at UW. But now that Adidas is involved and there's some sort of a deal going on, I have a feeling. I can't tell you the terms of it, but I have a really couple of good leads on what the deal would be, that some big hitters will be bringing together some big deals to get some big-time players to UW. So that's kind of where that's at. And unfortunately, I think a lot of the local guys who understood what Walmart was all about and understood what this game is all about and knew it, rather disappointed. I don't know if they're going to be connecting up with the dots with Hopkins. I think there's been a wedge that's been driven further because of this Adidas deal, in my opinion. I think it completely monetizing on the type of reputation that Romar built, and of course the incredibly large reputation and the quality of Husky football. I think that truthfully, and all the Title IX sports that have been so successful at Washington, just the great image of the university. But I think Romar had a lot to do with the basketball image as being a clean place. And I think that Romar had a lot to do with the whole program as being a clean, enviable, modern, place of great quality and great, the word I'm looking for is, credibility. And there's a better word. It's hard to think on my schedule here, but it'll come to me. But the word that means, yeah, whatever. I'm really struggling here. I've been doing the show all myself. My buddies just haven't shown up yet, but they will. But integrity. That's the word. Integrity. And I think that's what, you know, that's what they need, Adidas. They need integrity. They got Louisville. They got Kansas now. Billy Preston, Bill Self, busted. North Carolina State, busted. Bruce Pearl, busted. Baylor, shady for years. UCLA, lots of talk about how shady they've been over the years. I think it really helps Adidas to have a really nice school to be representing. And that nice school was built over time. Lorenzo Romar put a lot of time and energy in his group to build up that kind of reputation as being not the place that shady things are going on. You can talk all you want about the six missed years of tournaments and blah, 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 blah. He did an awful lot there. Well, it looks like we got ourselves a caller here. Oh, this is going to be good. Hey there, how's it going? I'm glad you called.
How you doing? Sorry, I'm a little
Tyrone,
late.
What's happening, man? I'm glad you called because we got a new program here that I wouldn't have been able to get you on the line in another 6 minutes. So this is perfect that you called right now. So what's new out there? What's going on with the NBA?
Well, let's take a look here. I was just watching the Mariners, as a matter of fact.
Cool.
It looks like Miami. Dwayne Wade comes up, the old man comes up with 28 points and 7 rebounds as they take down Philly on the road.
Wow. Well, those Philly's young Philly 76ers with Markelle Fultz at guard. So what happened with Markelle?
Let's see how Markelle did tonight.
Okay.
Markelle tonight played a whopping 4 minutes, and he was 0-for-3 from the field with 1 turnover.
Hey, you know, he's still a rookie. He's gonna have.
He's a young guy.
He's had a really good little end of the year kind of flash, though. He really has. He's really done it, and I'm really proud of him. And then the Spurs are playing tonight too.
Yeah, they're
as a matter of fact.
Right,
yeah, the Spurs are playing with DeJounte Murray, and those T Wolves. They lost their first game. Yeah, they didn't do so well. Miami Heat, obviously, like you said, over the Sixers. But, you know, there's an awful lot to talk about when it comes to NBA. I'm hearing that there's a little bit of recruiting stuff going on. You're hearing that about that 5-star from back east that UW's is trying to get in on. What have you heard about that?
Yeah, I mean, UW was looking at a couple guys. They're looking at the 5-star from back east, and then they're looking at this other kid from out west.
Who's he?
So, you know, I think I got his name. I'm blanking on his name. Was it Isaiah Brown? Something like that?
You're talking about the 5-star guy from yeah, I could find out for you. He's a 5-star from California, and then there's some guy from Napa or something like that, California.
Yeah.
And then the other one was from back east. It was on the same AAU club as Hamir Wright and Naz Carter. So
yeah,
that was the deal there. He's a 5-star, but he's 2019. So it'd be for the 2019 class, which is wide open. But that's going to do it. I mean, I was just talking about this Adidas deal before you got here. What kind of effect is the Adidas deal going to have, do you think, on the recruiting thing for UW?
I mean, this is just a huge, you know, I mean, this is a huge, huge story. I mean, we're talking about them going to, you know, arguably a company that's really focused on, you know, quite frankly, pay to play.
Well, they put it this way. We both know that Nike is even worse, but somehow they've gotten away with it. And I was just talking about how I believe, just with my gut feeling and based on a certain amount of evidence, that Nike's putting up a lot of money for big-time lawyers right now trying to argue that this bribery that goes on is actually not against the law. Maybe against NCAA regulations, but not anything that someone should go to jail for. So that's what they're arguing right now. And the FBI is fighting with them in federal court about that. And we'll see how that resolves. But that's going to be the make or break here. If these judges decide that that's true, then that is going to let a lot of this stuff off the hook. I mean, stuff like the prostitution or the money laundering or the coercion, that stuff's still going to get prosecuted, but the bribery might not, and we'll see what happens, you know? That's going to be interesting.
I mean, you look at a company like Backpage.com.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's a company, and we know this, there's no doubt that Adidas was utilizing Backpage.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be really interesting to see what happens. Yeah, there you go.
What about that's when that be, comes out?
Yeah, that will come out. That will come out one way or the other. That's going to come out. And the thing is, I also think that Nike does that. You know, most of the time that I've talked to people, the big talk is how the trains in Kentucky over there at University of Kentucky are the best of all. They got the best of everything over
there.
No doubt.
No doubt.
So I'm sure And Louisville, exactly. Well, we already know about that. We know about Andre McGee. And we
Oregon.
Know about the whole thing. Well, Oregon is just like that, too. Oregon is just like that, too. It doesn't get any better. Well, that gives a whole new meaning to Bill Walton's statement, the greatest grantor of dreams in the history of mankind. Well, if the dreams are, you know, hookers, then I guess they probably could be. So I don't know. We'll have to see what's happening. I mean, those hookers, that's why they make good money, is they grant dreams to guys like Donald Trump, you know, with bad comb-overs and toupees. They grant the greatest life dream that they could possibly experience. That's why they end up in these big lawsuits where they got to pay them $1 million to shut up. So anyway, let's aside from that talk, let's go back to basketball. What about this local scene? Kevin Porter moves up to 5-star. What did you think about that? And he killed it down at the Nike. Kevin Porter Jr. from Rainier Beach moved up to a 5-star after his performance down at the Nike Hoop Summit. He's a 5-star now.
Wow. Bottom line is the dude's the real deal.
Yeah, he really is. He's an impressive player. He's gotten a bad rap of being kind of a head case. A lot of people have said that. A lot of people have talked bad about him over the years. A couple of times he got sort of reprimanded by Rainier Beach High School in various situations for his behavior during practices and things like that. But, you know, it's hard to argue when you're just good, you know, and you get in the higher up you get into it, the more your individual skills matter. And the more it just becomes a value commodity. And I think he's heading for the NBA, Tyrone. I really do. That's been my feeling ever since I first saw him.
I think
he'll play in the NBA. No, I think he'll play at SC for a year or two. Yeah. He's a little bit too short to be a one-and-done guy, I think. I think he'll be there for a couple of years. But I think he's going to be an NBA player. I get a feeling he's going to be an NBA player, maybe even 1 year, but nah, I think he'd probably be a 2 or 3 year player in college basketball. But he's a heck of a player.
So here's the text I got. Mike Hopkins met with Isaiah Stewart.
Interesting. That's fantastic. Isaiah Stewart's 2019 big man from back east. And he's a number two big man in the class of 2019.
And look at this. Just got a text right now.
Okay.
Hopkins likes Wendell Moore more than Jalen McDaniels. Just had dinner with Moore.
Whoa. There you go. That's pretty big time news right there. He likes him more than Jalen McDaniels. Oh, boy. I wonder who's talking this way. That's big time news, man. That's big time news. Well, Wendell Moore's another big time recruit. Another huge look. It sounds to me like UW all of a sudden has gone from, you know, really struggling to really being a big major player in the national scene. And I wonder if it has anything to do with that Adidas deal. Do you think? What do you think? Huh, did I lose you? Hope I didn't lose you. Well, that's the problem. We got this. We're dealing with a new program. But, it could be that we're off the air. Hope not. We're not off the air. But maybe they changed this program around to the point where it's just off the air. Well, I hope so. If that's the case, then we'll just call it good. Half-hour show is a half-hour show is a half-hour show. We'll go to a half-hour format. Maybe we'll do more than one a week. Anyway, I'll see if this is even being played on the podcast or not. I'll find out. It's part of being in the brave new world of technology. If you don't step up with the big corporate shindig, you don't want to swing with them, then you get the half-hour show. But we're good. We're good for 1 week, and I'll see you next week. This is Jim Bassnight for Talking Hoops. Like I said, we cover more here on this show. Not that I don't like everybody else. I love them all, by the way. They're all smart people, very smart and sharp and intelligent and, you know, talented, good-looking, creative, Most of them can sing better than me, all that stuff. Anyway, I'll see you next week, Jim Bass night, maybe even later this week. I'm going to do two shows this week with this new program I have with the half-hour show cut off. I'll see if this continues to record this rest of this conversation. If it is, I can probably keep talking until, you know, who knows when. But we obviously lost the one and only Tyrone. So we'll call it a week for another week. Just talking hoops. This is Jim Bass night. Always be a good sport. Always.